I am Yada, and this is Shattering Myths. Each weekday morning on the Genesis Communication Network, we expose and condemn the beguiling and the destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, with military and economic schemes. If you listen, we'll open your eyes and perhaps change your mind towards each of these things upon which most people foolishly and counterproductively cling. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to help you actually understand what is really occurring behind the headlines. We will reveal the motivations of the perpetrators and share what you can do to protect your family, all while predicting how these events will shape America and the world over the next 20 years. Then during our second hour, we turn our attention to Yahweh and his terms and conditions as they apply to his covenant, through his always dependable Torah teaching. We do so that God's guidance will allow us to replace religion with reason. Our phone number, if you wish to participate in today's program, is 877-300-7645. Yesterday, I found an article that was on Front Page Magazine that conveys succinctly a great deal of truth. There are aspects of it, however, that miss the mark, but in that it is an apt summation, for the most part, of what we witnessed between Hamas and Israel over the past couple of weeks, I thought I'd share it with you. Bruce Thornton is its author. It reads, "The currently suspended missile duel between Israel and Hamas exposes yet again the surreal absurdity of the way the international community handles this conflict between a democratic state and a terrorist gang. The ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hamas is another example of the folly of treating a bunch of murderers like a legitimate government." Now let me interrupt here and share several insights. First of all, democracy is seldom an attribute, and therefore it being applied to Israel isn't a good thing. It is probably a bad thing. Recently in Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, Iran, Afghanistan, within the so-called Palestinian territories, indeed in France and in the United States, by voting, people made very bad situations much worse. Moreover, Hamas was democratically elected, winning 65% of the vote. Additionally, neither terrorism, which is a tactic, nor gang, which is a relatively small and loosely affiliated group, properly describes Hamas, which is an Islamic religious organization conceived and committed to the destruction of Israel. As for a legitimate government, the world is about to recognize them as such in the United Nations. And honestly, what is the difference between Syria and Hamas? Between the Sudan and Hamas? Between Somalia and Hamas? Between Pakistan and Hamas? Between Iran and Hamas? Between Egypt and Hamas? Is there really any distinction? Consider this author on Front Page Magazine continues. He says, consider, for example, the way a terrorist outfit like Hamas, self-defined in its charter by its genocidal goals, is treated as if it were a legitimate state. But Hamas is not a government that rules over a sovereign territory defined by international borders. If you want a recent graphic illustration of Hamas's true nature, pursue a video on the aftermath of the summary execution of six accused collaborators, or consider Hamas's official television coverage of the terrorist bombings of a bus in Israel, or contemplate the barbarity of using its own citizens as human shields for its munitions dumps and rocket launchers. Calling Hamas honcho Ismail Haniyeh a prime minister, as virtually every world government and news organization does, doesn't mean he is actually a prime minister, no matter how many elections are held. These titles and voting procedures do not constitute a legitimate government that should be recognized as such in the world community, as though it respects international laws and treaties, which it does not. Let alone should this facade of political legitimacy rationalize millions of dollars from Western governments, all given to Hamas under the guise of the UN aid for social services, which all it does is free up funds for the purchasing of weapons and munitions for a community and culture that does not work. The same pretense of state legitimacy is equally absurd in the case of the Palestinian, and I would put that in quotes, he put in quotes, President Mahmoud Abbas, the Holocaust-denying head of the Palestinian Authority, which is recognized as the sole representative of the so-called Palestinians instead of the terrorist organization, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, from which it is actually derived. It has had this cosmetic makeover brought about by Bill Clinton and the 1993 Oslo Accords. Yes, indeed. The Palestinian Authority is a misnomer twice over. There is no such thing as a Palestinian. There hasn't been one in thousands of years. And there is no place called Palestine, never has been, never will be. But in addition to that, the reality is that the Palestinian Authority is simply a name that Bill Clinton gave to the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization that was responsible for so many grotesque terrorist atrocities over the decades. The article continues, the PA is still just another terrorist gang. You know, it's a shame that even on Front Page Magazine, that knows better, that this author couldn't call them what they are. They are a Islamic religious organization. That's what they are. And they do lots of things other than terrorism. Terrorism is one of their tactics. They endear themselves to Muslims by doing many things, one of which is calling for the destruction of Israel, and one is by deploying terrorist tactics. But they are more than just terrorists. And they certainly are more substantial than the term gang represents. Anyway, it says the PA is just another terrorist gang, as demonstrated by its frequent honoring of terrorist murderers by naming streets and parks after them, its clinging to the goal of destroying Israel through demands for territorial concessions and the right of return for an endlessly growing number of refugees. As such, the PA's main functions include peddling to international communities the two-state and nationalistic aspirations canard in order to delegitimize Israel and to obtain money, and to distribute to its people whatever international aid is left over after the PA fat cats themselves have skimmed their take. There's a reason that Yasser Arafat, who never worked a day in his life, died a billionaire. Skimming. It's the same reason that the government in Afghanistan is such a fraud, as we will consider a report on their bank failure, monies which were skimmed by Karzai's family. Yet today, as in the past, the U.S. is intervening in the current conflict to ensure that Abbas, rather than Hamas, is the primary person to whom the international community should negotiate, as the Wall Street Journal reported, because it is allegedly more legitimate and more moderate. By the way, it isn't more legitimate, it is less legitimate. The PA lost in the last election. They just simply asserted control over the West Bank. They lost by a two-thirds vote. So the Wall Street Journal would be errant in this regard. They are illegitimate, less legitimate than Hamas. And the fact is, a moderate reference to an Islamic terrorist organization like the PLO is absurd in the extreme. The only sign this author writes of its moderation is being that it believes Israel should be destroyed later rather than sooner. In other words, they want the same deal that Neville Chamberlain gave Adolf Hitler before World War II, giving him the high ground of Czechoslovakia. And once the these Muslims have the high ground over Israel and can cut Israel in two at the Gaza crossings and have narrowed Israel at the waist, making it its 70% of its population infinitely vulnerable. They will destroy it. That is their goal. Hello, Scott.
I was going to say that there's no way Israel will give that up. They went through a ton to get that, to take that area back.
Well, understand that the United States forced Israel to give up Gaza more recently. During George Bush's administration, the United States strong-willed Israel to giving up Gaza, which it had claimed at great cost. And look at the consequence of Israel giving up control of Gaza. The United States, during the Jimmy Carter administration, forced Israel to give up the Sinai, which it had also won at great cost. And look what that has done to it, because that's where all of the rockets and missiles and weapons are being staged as they come into Gaza. The United States and the world community are all trying to get Israel to give up the West Bank. And Israel is saying, no, we're not going to give up it, the West Bank, entirely, but the world community will, in fact, ultimately convince Israel to give up enormous swaths of land, which it has far too little of, for promises of peace from people who have never known peace and who very religious core calls for their destruction.
And who has no intention to keep any sort of peace treaty with anybody.
If this author of this article understood that Hamas was an Islamic religious organization and that the Quran in the ninth surah, the second to last revealed, says that a treaty between Muslims and non-Muslims is not binding on the Muslims, and that it reflected the nature of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah when Muhammad promised peace to the Meccans because he had insufficient forces to destroy them, and then by promising them peace, he made them easier prey in the following year. Now that he had garnered a strategic advantage, he launched a war against them and promptly conquered them. And if this author articulated that, then everything he said would be accurate. As it is, he is at least eating around the edges and serving up information that we all need to hear. I am Yada. This is Shattering Mist. We'll be back to the conclusion of this story after the break. Again, you want to call this program, you want to challenge anything you hear during the show, 877-300-7645.
At a time.
To Shattering Mist. I am your host, Yada. We're considering an article that appeared on Front Page magazine that, save one exception, does a better than adequate job of summing up the foolishness of what is being reported regarding the spat between Hamas and Israel. It continues by saying that the absurdity leads, one absurdity leads to another, that negotiations and diplomacy in which legitimate and technically legitimate states participate when dealing with this terrorist gang. What he is attempting to say here is that since he does not consider Hamas to be legitimate, even though it won a democratic election, even though it is the sole governing influence in the Gaza, he doesn't like the idea that a legitimate state, Israel, would even negotiate with such a group of murderous thugs. The fact is that Israel and Hamas don't negotiate. The United States can't even negotiate with Hamas because it is a terrorist organization. But the problem here is the influence of Islam in this mix and how it allies every Islamic country in the Middle East with Hamas, no matter how bad Hamas is, and against Israel. And the fact that negotiating with an Islamic regime is a complete waste of time. In fact, it is counterproductive, and that's what it's intended to be. This article continues, this absurdity is compounded when one of those states is Egypt, and its rulers, the Muslim Brotherhood, are asked to intercede on behalf of Hamas. It's this journalist says it's akin to asking Hitler in the early 1938 time frame to intercede with the Studenten Nazi Party to stop its violence against the government of Czechoslovakia. Well, actually, it's more akin to asking the Roman Catholic Church to denounce its Italian clergy for conveying its message and doing its bidding. It's more akin to asking the Nazi Party to intercede to moderate the SS. Morsi does not object to Hamas's rain of missiles. In fact, the Iranian Farjar 5 missiles that are able to hit Tel Aviv reached Gaza by transiting Egyptian territory, specifically the Sinai, on their way from the Sudan. Yes, the Iranians build their low-tech missiles, their missiles that they offer to Gaza in the Sudan, with the most reprehensible country on earth. You know, the Islamic government of the Sudan has perpetrated a genocide on Christians, Animists, and African Muslims, whereby over 3 million have been killed in the last 25 years. It is the most repulsive and genocidal nation on earth. So when you consider Hamas's allies, Egypt's allies, Iran's allies, the allies of Islam, what one should see is genocide. The article goes on to say, no, the Egyptians are not trying to restrain Hamas for any other reasons that the Muslim Brotherhood has not yet consolidated its power or control over its army, and Egypt is near bankrupt and dependent upon the promised $9 billion in aid from the EU, the International Monetary Fund, and the United States. Without that $9 billion in aid, which it will surely receive, Egypt and the Muslim Brotherhood's fundamentalist Islamic reformation is kaput. Morsi doesn't need Hamas and Islamic Jihad causing problems right now, and his role in mediating the ceasefire has endowed this soldier of the Grand Jihad, the article says, against the West, and it's not against the West, it's against any non-Islamic state, immense international praise and prestige. The reality is that Islam is a bankrupt religion. Yeah, Islam is so demonic, so upside down in its morality, that there has never been a prosperous economy in a resolutely Islamic country. And so Egypt, having gone from a secular dictator to a Islamic government, is broke. And yet, while this government wants to destroy Europe and America, and indeed Israel, of course, what is Europe and the United States doing? We're funding them. I mean, it is amazingly stupid what Europe and the United States do vis-a-vis Islam. It's part and parcel of the grand mistake the United States and Europe are now making in Syria, where we're providing arms to the very Mujahideen that would wield them against us, just as we did in Libya and felt its sting not too very long ago. We'll return to conclude this article when Shattering Myths continues after the break. Shattering Myths. We're considering an article that was published on Front Page magazine. It continues with these words: and how despicable is it to watch a state like Turkey, a member of NATO and thus supposedly an ally of the United States, send its foreign minister to Gaza to show, quote, solidarity with the Palestinian nation's suffering. Now, the only reason that they were suffering is because they chose to send missiles into Israel, or to hear its prime minister, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, Obama's international BFF, scheduled to visit soon, say, Israel is a terror state and its acts are terrorist acts. Imagine that. to say something that utterly stupid, so inconsistent with reality, tells you that his audience is equally stupid. The only way for something that idiotic, that upside down, that completely disjoined from reality, doesn't embarrass him is if his intended audience, which are Muslims, are equally stupid. And therein is the real key to this. Muslims have been so indoctrinated, so poisoned by Allah, Muhammad's, and the Quran's anti-Semitism and hatred for Israel and Jews, that they actually believe that. And so long as they believe that, this problem cannot be resolved. It is impossible to resolve. The article continues, isn't anyone else disgusted by this spectacle of solidarity with an actual terrorist outfit whose foundation's charter calls for genocide and that indiscriminately rains missiles down on its neighbor and who celebrates the blowing up of buses filled with civilians? Yeah, what's amazing here is that Hamas is a terrorist organization. There is no question that Hamas is an Islamic terrorist organization, and yet Erdogan, who is the best friend internationally of Obama, heralds Israel as being the terrorist state. This article continues. There is no doubt that Hamas is emboldened by the intransigence of this diplomatic support from legitimate states or visits by the UN chief Ban Ki-moon or news agencies like CNN interviewing Hamas foreign policy spokesperson Osama Hamdan, all of which are as important as the rockets and other weapons provided by Iran. Yeah, it's interesting. You know how many journalists we have in Syria where Muslims are killing thousands of people a month and sometimes killing up to 2,000 people a month? None. But where did the whole world flock with its offices? Into Gaza. Yet despite this manifest absurdity of treating a gang of murderers as though it were a legitimate state, Secretary of State Hillary Rotten Clinton jetted to the region, putting the full force of American prestige to securing a ceasefire agreement with such a gang, one that regards such agreements as mere tactics that allow the ongoing war of extermination against Israel to continue. Equally disturbing is the price America will pay for Egypt and Turkey's help in bringing about this now vague, fragile ceasefire that's supposed to be enforced by the very same Egyptian government that allowed the most dangerous rockets into Gaza in the first place. The cost of cooperation is likely to be more pressure on Israel to make more concessions in pursuit of a mythical land for peace bargain that repeatedly in the past has led to more terrorist violence. Indeed, the insistent barrage of rockets and other terrorist attacks from Gaza for the past 7 years have taken place because Israel withdrew from Gaza as a gesture to that grand bargain, land for peace. Imagine the damage the Fajr 5 rockets, which would be Fear 5 rockets, would inflict on Tel Aviv and on Jerusalem if they were fired from a West Bank location, as the West Bank is handed over to the Palestinian Authority. A ceasefire now will no more resolve the conflict any more than did more violent and costly Operation Cast Lead in 2008. As long as the international community and Israel's allies continue to treat a nest of murderers as a state deserving of international aid and legitimacy instead of a terrorist outlaws to be hunted down, Israel will have to pay a very high price to end Hamas terrorism. You know, Golda Meir, when she was asked, and she was meeting with Egypt for the first time, she says, you know, we may be able to forgive you for murdering our children, but we will never forgive you for forcing us to kill yours. And yet that is what has become of this mess. Now, that story firmly in our grasp. Let's turn to today's news. France has confirmed that it intends to vote for a Palestinian non-member status at the United Nations later this week. Foreign Minister Fabius said France had long backed Palestinian ambitions for statehood and would vote yes, quote, out of a concern for coherency, end quote. So what is coherency in this regard? Well, look up the word coherency. It's a logical interconnection. A logical interconnection. There is no logical connection between the Philistines, who were annihilated 3,000 years ago, or nearly such, and the so-called Palestinians. There has never been a place called Palestine. Where is the consistency or the interconnection here? The West Bank is now controlled by the PLO. Gaza is controlled by Hamas, both of which are terrorist organizations. Is that what Frank says is a proper connection to make? Let's establish terrorist states. Well, another definition of coherency is an overall sense of understandability. Oh, yes, I understand this. Let's see. The people who have consistently reneged on every agreement that's ever been forged with them and have consistently used terror as their primary tactic are to be rewarded with a state of their own. Yeah, that's understandable. Third definition is congruity. This is consistency, and that's, I think, how it was used in this sentence. Since we have consistently been on the wrong side of this issue, we'll consistently continue to be on the wrong side. You see, France is divided between socialist secular humanism and Roman Catholicism, and has been now for a considerable period of time. And both of those ideologies were born out of a hatred for Jews. And so they view Israel and Jews as their enemy as well. This is the quote. Well, before we get to the quote, just since he called it, we're going to vote for a Palestinian state out of concern for coherency. Synonyms for coherent would be intelligent, clear, comprehensible, articulate, lucid, and rational. And by the way, there isn't a single lucid, rational, articulate, comprehensible, intelligent, or clear reason given for their vote. Only the sense of the guy before me was in favor of it, and the guy before him was in favor of it, so we're going to be in favor of it. This is the quote. You know that for years and years, France's consistent position has been the recognition of a Palestinian state. Fabius told the lower house of parliament. That is why when the question was raised on Thursday and Friday, France will respond yes. Backing international recognition of a Palestinian state was a campaign pledge made by François Hollande before he became France's socialist president earlier this year. It was a policy first set out by François Mitterrand in 1982 and has been pursued by Mr. Holliday's predecessor, Nicolas Sarkozy. In other words, we have consistently been on the wrong side. We don't understand any of the lessons learned during World War II or the Holocaust. We know nothing of Islam, even though Muslims are now a 10 to 15% minority in our country. We know nothing of this. Germany is expected to vote against, while the UK's ambassador to the UN, Mark Grant, said on Thursday that London remained undecided. Well, that's no longer the case. Gutless, the UK is going to abstain. Austria says it will also back the Palestinian bid. Now, mind you, there is no such thing as Palestine. There is no such thing as a Palestinian people. There never have been. The closest thing was the Philistines. And the Philistines didn't occupy the West Bank. They never moved out of a tiny little slice of land in a fraction of what is today Gaza. And they were annihilated by the Assyrians, circa 565 BCE. Austria said that it will back the Palestinian bid. And claims that more than half of Europeans, the European Union's 27 member states, will vote for the proposal. You know, we know that in the last days there is a one-world government, and it begins to take shape out of Europe, and they will be opposed to Israel. They are now. Observers say that the application is likely to win support of the 193-member United Nations General Assembly, as it needs only a simple majority to pass. According to the Palestine Liberation Organization, the PLO, more than 130 countries already grant the Palestinians the rank of a sovereign state. Disgusting, isn't it? A mythical people with a mythical name for their state, who are born and bred out of the PLO, a name that they don't even disavow to this day. The only reason that the PLO and Hamas garner support from the Muslim world and are recognized is because Islam is anti-Semitic, because Allah and Muhammad hated Jews, hunted them down, robbed them as prey. And so today, Muslims indoctrinated by their false god and false prophet continue to hate Jews, and they align themselves with the most disgusting of organizations so long as they share a common foe. That is the nature of this problem. And so, in the minutes we have left during the first hour of this program, we will conclude this story on France and Europe betraying Israel and working against Yahweh. Shattering this, I'm your host, Yetta. Our number is 877-300-7645. This article that was in international media talking about France's decision that they were going to vote in favor of a Palestinian state for this mythical people and mythical place because of consistency. It ends with these two statements. It says, the Palestinians have long sought to establish an independent sovereign state in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip. However, two decades of on-and-off peace talks have failed. Now, why did they say two decades? Because prior to that time, their only tactic they were using was all-out war. We have the Yom Kippurim War, we have the Six-Day War, and we have the War of Independence. Three successive wars, they lost all three. And the reason that that it's called the West Bank today is it was part of Jordan. Was it a Palestinian state when it was part of Jordan? Was there any uproar in the world to give the mythical Palestinian people their own state of Palestine when the West Bank was part of Jordan and Gaza was part of Egypt? None. In fact, there was no reference of any kind anywhere in the world to a so-called Palestinian people when Gaza was part of Egypt and the West Bank was part of Jordan. But nationally, those governments decided that they would declare war on Israel, and they lost. The West Bank is now controlled by Israel, and Gaza was controlled by Israel because they lost. There has to be a consequence for having declared war on a state and losing. Now imagine if Egypt did not have control of the Sinai, if that was a area controlled by Israel today, there would be no rockets being funneled into Gaza. What if Israel was still in control of Gaza? There'd be no rockets fired from there either. The worst thing that could possibly happen is to establish an independent Palestinian state carved out of Israel. But beyond that, just look at the nations who have opposed Israel. Rome did it. Rome's last battles were fought against Israel. That was the peak of the Roman power at that time. They opposed Israel, destroyed it, and they never had a decent Caesar after that. And they began a downward spiral from which they never emerged. You look at modern times and the Germans who went after them and what happened to them. Their thousand-year Reich lasted, what, a decade? Then, look today at the nations who oppose Israel. They're living hellholes. Somewhere, someone ought to wake up and say, wait a minute, opposing his people isn't a good idea. Their God is a lot more powerful than we are. It is a sad, sad situation. Golda Meir was quoted in 1969 saying, peace will come when the Arabs love their children more than they hate us. But that still has not occurred. They sacrifice their children because of their hate. She also wrote at the same time, in 1969, there was no such thing as a Palestinian. There was no independent Palestinian people. Where on earth would you find a state of Palestine? It was either southern Syria before the First World War, then it was part of Jordan thereafter, or part of Egypt, depending if you're looking at the West Bank or Gaza. It was not as though there were a Palestinian people in Palestine considering itself as a Palestinian people when Israel allegedly came and threw them out and took their company away from them. They did not exist. This whole scenario is a myth. We find two news stories just briefly here in Syria. One is that the rebels in Syria are claiming that the Syrian government used jet aircraft, these would be Russian MiGs, to drop cluster bombs on playground, leaving 10 children dead. There's video posted that shows the mothers weeping over their children's bodies. Now, I'm surprised that they didn't use that film and say that these were killed by cluster bombs fired by Israel into Gaza. I guess too late for that. And it says that intensive fighting around the capital has enabled rebels to capture part of an airbase. So the picture that allegedly shows cluster bombs and dead Muslim babies follows the rebel capture of an airbase, which if there were cluster bombs, they would be there. Fighting further foliage on the playgrounds shows that while these may be cluster bombs, they are very hard to identify. And, of course, the Syrian government says, you know, we have lots of weapons, but cluster bombs are not among them. No one has sold us or supplied us with cluster bombs. It is all too likely here that these Muslim marauders staged the murder of their own children. I would not put it past them, and you should not either. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Farmers keep livestock lean and healthy with a mineral-rich diet. Then, before market, they cut off minerals, leading them to crave high-calorie grains. If weight control is this easy, why prescribe...